Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea. When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guys, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
So tonight, well, today is Halloween, obviously. Tonight, the trick-or-treating happens. If you're a parent, or maybe you're just a big old kid who likes going trick-or-treating. I think this is just because of circumstances, the weather. But I'm looking at Sean right now. He's got like a tracksuit on. That's what they say across the pond. A tracksuit and a hat. You look like a lower-level guy in a British crime drama. Like you're on the street selling drugs. They all dress like that. I just noticed it. Hey, like, listen. What does that remind me of? I don't know why this is striking a chord with me. Oh, yeah. I watch Gangs of London. That's all. That's what those guys look like when they're out there selling drugs.
I don't know what they do. I imagine the same thing our guys do.
Yeah, I imagine. They just
play card games with Chauncey Billups.
Sure.
That's what I am. I'm one of the low-level mafiosos that lost money playing cards with
you think they were screwing over the mafia guys?
Oh no! I guess they're screwing over
regular
gamblers.
Old gamblers.
I'm one of the guys that gave them the sunglasses.
Yeah, you're the quarterback at the table. Making sure,
especially with the earpiece, the headphone earpiece.
Yeah, you do look like who would be labeled quarterback?
Yeah.
as the mafia plus Chauncey Billups is screwing regular golfers. Regular poker players. Yeah. Once you get arrested, walk into a federal courthouse in a Hornets jersey. So while Halloween is tonight, I think we talked about it on the air that my home is not one you come to if you want candy. I don't know if I'll be home tonight, but if I am, I'll just be watching horror movies with only baseball to maybe distract me from that. But we've been talking about it pretty much all week, but now it hits home. We are both fans of teams that are going to play early tomorrow. 11 a.m. starts for Miami at SMU, where Josh Pate is actually going to be. In fact, you can hear Miami SMU here. Maybe that's the way I'm going to have to take it in. You can hear Miami SMU here on ESPN 97.5. But
transistor radio.
Yeah, sit in my car and listen to the game. Although I did buy like a portable actual radio because it has Bluetooth access. So I might do that at some point. But there are other ways, but what's the plan, Sean? Texas and Vanderbilt are playing at 11 a.m. You are a YouTube TV subscriber, and as it stands now, you can't watch the game in the glory of your home and on TV. What are you going to do? You're going out? You're going to find a way? Do you have the ESPN app? How are you going to watch the game?
Well, first I'll go to keepmynetworks.com, and then what I'll do is, I don't know, probably a free trial somewhere. Sure, they got a free
streaming
trial.
DirecTV free trial or something.
Yeah,
or Sling maybe. Yeah, maybe Sling's the way to go.
Panhandle for some YouTube TV.
YouTube TV. It doesn't
Hulu
matter.
TV.
Yeah, Hulu TV. Yeah, maybe that's the way. Although
Hulu has live sports.
Yeah, so maybe that's the way you do it. I've never really liked. I tried Hulu TV for a trial. I didn't like the interface, so I went back to YouTube TV.
I'm just trying to
get through the weekend. Right?
I'm just trying to get through Diego Pavia's face.
Right? Yeah, that's all. I'm trying to see what Colin Simmons and Anthony Hill has for Diego Pavia. So, yes, you've heard it a lot from us, but now it hits home for us particularly. I don't want to go anywhere. The plan normally on Saturday mornings is, you know, stay up however long I want to stay up on Friday, get up at about 10:30, wash the sleep out of my eyes, brush my teeth, and then be ready for the 11 o'clock slate of games. Now, I may actually have to make a plan. It's probably just going to be illicit means that I watch the game. But now I got to think about it as opposed to just turning the television on. So there it is. And you heard Sean mention it. KeepMyNetworks.com is the website if you want to get your ESPN Now back. It used to be, hey, just keep it. Now get it back if you're a YouTube TV customer. It's tough. I just expect to turn my TV on and be able to watch the game tomorrow. Game day, don't have access to that. Don't have access to college football. We'll see how we get through the weekend. Well, that's a subplot to my weekend. We actually have a game to focus on. That'll be on CBS. I don't have to worry about it. It's Texans Broncos on Sunday. An AFC team who the Texans, I guess at this point, we have to talk about the tiebreaker when it comes to Baltimore. They probably don't have tiebreakers against many people, considering they beat the Bears, the Dolphins, and who was their first one against? I forgot. I don't remember who it was, but I don't know if it's a team in the playoff chase right
Titans?
Now. Might have been. So I don't know that they have a tiebreaker over anyone at this point who's actually battling for a playoff spot, but they win last night. Unfortunately, I don't get to see if Dan Orlovsky was impressed by that performance because we don't have ESPN in here because I started yesterday's show talking about the cry-on on First Take. What do you need to see to be impressed by the Ravens? I imagine winning 28-6 was impressive enough. I believe they're outgained by 100 yards in the first half. It's just the Dolphins being the Dolphins and not taking advantage of it. And then the Ravens got going in that third quarter, put a couple touchdown drives together, and that was it for that. So the Ravens win. They're apparently going to be a threat to an AFC North and a threat to at least be in playoff contention in the wild card spot. So the Texans have the tiebreaker. They, at this point, have an advantage. They win the game. They'll stay ahead of them. So we knew it was a big game, but with the Ravens apparently circling, you need this one. And the Broncos are right now leading the AFC West, but you never know what happens later in the year as the Chiefs are certainly lurking and the Chargers are right there too. So maybe the Broncos become one of the teams you're competing against for a wild card spot. So a lot of implications in this game. And it's going to be a big test for Nick Haley. We know about the Broncos pass rush. I'll get into some of the things the Broncos do in coverage that may not play in the Texans' favor, despite the fact that Patrick Surtain's not here. But Nick Haley was at the podium yesterday, and C.J. Stroud, from most observers, is coming off his best game of the season, handling the blitz, finding open guys, and just leading that Texans offense to their most impressive performance. Yes, I know the Ravens are playing better defense now, but at the time, they're a dumpster fire, and you've heard this show talk about how we don't consider that one a real effort by the Texans. But they won last Sunday, banged up at the 49ers, where that was a real team who had found a way to get stops even as they were banged up against previous opponents. The Texans kind of did whatever they want. As long as they weren't sabotaging themselves, they moved the football pretty efficiently. So here's Nick Haley on his quarterback coming off his best performance of the year.
He's a competitor. He played really efficient football, threw the ball in rhythm, on time, accurately, made plays with his legs, did a lot of great things. You see that from afar, but when we go out there and we're, again, staying on track and doing those things, sky's the limit for him, and I believe that, and I'm proud of the way he competed. Really did. He had a really consistent demeanor like he always does, but it all came together and we played a clean game.
So we've heard sky's the limit from Nick Haley, and when I'm rolling, I'm one of the top guys. Stay in line, Nick Haley. If CJ says when he's gone, he's one of the top guys, you better echo it in some way. And that was what last week was. You got a much different challenge this week. And we will get into what that challenge is when we come back, because the Texans have been a team who struggled at times getting separation. Well, the Broncos and their style of play may be something that exacerbates that situation. We'll talk about that when we come back. We'll get an update, or at least we'll give you the update on the wide receiver core, because we had, of course, a practice yesterday. We'll talk about who was available for that. Michael Carroll joins us at 11:30 to tell you what you should or shouldn't watch this weekend. Do you need to go out to see something? Should you stay in? Maybe you're not a Halloween person as far as handing out candy to kids and you don't want to be in your neighborhood. Maybe Michael has a movie you should see today. We'll see what he's got. Or you can be like me. Stay home. Make sure your porch light's off and say, F them kids. At least that's the tone you're giving out, because you're not giving out candy. different strokes for different folks. So we'll get to Michael Carroll at 11:30. If you want to join us before then, 713-780-3776. You want to talk Texans, you want to talk to college football weekend. There's a lot to get to as we are just getting started. It's me and Sean till noon. We will be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
All right, let's get to Eddie. I'll give you some information about how the Broncos may play the Texans on Sunday, but let's get to Eddie first. He wants to talk Texans. What's up?
Hey, Del. How's it going? I'm just curious. Like, we looked good last weekend, but does that same game plan work? You know, the 49ers were missing a bunch of guys. Still not a great defense. Does that same game plan work against what is arguably the best or second best defensive unit in all of football? And so just curious about your thoughts on what changes relative to what we did last weekend.
Appreciate it. Well, I think the game plan to get the ball out of your quarterback's hand, that'll remain the same, getting that done quickly. Whether the Broncos allow for the open space that the Texans receiver saw because of the zone stuff that the 49ers ran out there, that's a different conversation. I think the Texans plan will, you'll see, I would imagine, Blake Fisher on the field quite a bit with your six offensive line sets. You will see back with Nico back, I think the inbreakers, him trying to win at the line of scrimmage quickly to mitigate what Cooper and Benito can do. But it'll have to do it against man. The Broncos, as it stands now, beyond their pass rush, they have five of the top six man coverage guys in football. Not like they're best at it, but the percentage of time they're in man. Five out of the top six guys are man guys, and they play for the Broncos. Now, Surtain won't be there, so that takes one away, but still, it's a team that loves to play man. They're better at it than when they play zone, so if they're not completely changed by the fact that Surtain's not there, we're going to have to see the Texans win. Their receivers win, something they did not do a great job of earlier in the year. Not a lot of guys getting open, not a lot of guys creating separation. That appears to be something they're going to have to fix. Now, with Noel getting more snaps and maybe Higgins becoming someone who's more ready to do that, that could help the Texans, and of course with Nico being back. And Christian Kirk's going to be back, so he's a guy who you expect to win in the slot with the two-way goes, with the crossers, stuff like that. So they'll have to do it that way, I think, unless the Surtain thing changes the way the Broncos play. We know they like to get after the passer. They're the best team in football at it right now, so that'll test the tackles. But I would say the receivers have to win early to make the Benito and Cooper combo maybe not irrelevant, because those guys will make plays, but we talked about it the last couple of days. You can't allow them to wreck the game. But I don't think the Texans will change much. So try to run the football too. Something we forget when we talk about how well C.J. Stroud played. They were able to run the ball. Nick Chubb, Woody Marks, even when Nick Chubb wasn't breaking big ones, because that's not his game anymore, he would run through an arm tackle and turn a 4-yard or 3-yard gain into a 5 or 6 and put you in advantageous situations. So running the football, we saw how it helped CJ in that offense, and then winning early against that Broncos secondary. And you know, we heard the sound from Patrick Surtain. Riley Moss is being racially profiled, so you may get a couple pass interference calls considering how handsy he is. So hopefully those things come into effect. But it's, as always, the cliche starts up front. Can you protect your quarterback? Can you keep him upright? And can you run the ball? You talked about it, Eddie. The 49ers were banged up. They were not a unit that had played a lot of snaps together. That was a mass unit, and when you look at the film from a 49ers perspective, there's a lot of, hey, the defense is supposed to be run this way. It didn't get run this way, and that's why some of the Texans' success occurred. The Broncos, sure. No, Sertan, but they're better physically as far as available guys. They're secondary, Hufanga, Brandon Jones, Riley Moss, and they drafted a corner early. Yeah, Jahdae Barron, the Texas rookie. He will – the question is what they'll do, because I was reading up on them, and they like to keep him – even when Sertan went out last week, they let him stay in the nickel. They didn't move him to the outside. Yeah. So they may do that again, so you don't have a rookie cornerback isolated on someone like Nico Collins. So they have invested in that secondary. It's a good one even beyond Sertan, but, of course, he just changes the math. And then Dre Greenlaw will be back. He's missed plenty of time through injury and then even last week because of suspension. So they'll get one of their guys they count on back, and we talked quite a bit about the pass rush. So, Eddie, I think the game plan remains. The effectiveness of that game plan against a more competent unit, that'll be the question.
That to me is the question. Is like, I think they did find something with the get it out quick, six-man offensive line protection, and just try to stay ahead of the change as much as possible, because we've seen it every time they play a good defense that when they get behind the change, even moderately behind it, third and six, which is not crazy long, it's a bad time for them. So I think just trying to what CJ Stroud said derogatorily, but I mean it complimentary, death by a thousand paper cuts, just keep the ball moving. And yeah, it's going to come down to, I think that you're going to be playing a way better defense than you did last Sunday. But at the end of the day, your offense does have to work against good defenses at some point if you want to make the playoffs. So I think that they definitely have a shot at this one. Like, I'm not as down. It is just another crank up the difficulty on the defense type game, and that's one the Texans haven't had a lot of success in so far.
Hit the horn, Sean.
Oh.
Hit the horn. We've got breaking news. He wasn't the guy you saw if you're watching Prime quite a bit beyond, all the Dolphin fans wearing paper bags on their head. He wasn't the guy you saw being focused on because he wasn't available to be seen. But he did just lose his job. Chris Greer, Dolphins GM, fired days ahead of the trade deadline. I don't know if he was thinking about making moves, but the Dolphins have taken that away from him. They are going to have their senior personnel executive, Champ Kelly, be the guy that's their interim GM. So Chris Greer loses his job. He likely won't be the last high-level Dolphin, whether it be coach or executive, to lose his job. But they've made a move. The reporting before last night, certainly they got embarrassed, so that could change things. The reporting before last night was they weren't in any real rush to fire Mike McDaniel. And frankly, it's not like Tennessee has been thriving since they fired Callahan, so I'm not sure what it would do other than give people a little bit of a blood that they can gnaw on, a little piece of meat they can gnaw on if they did fire him.
They should have hired Tim Skipper. That's what they should have.
Yeah, well, that lasted for a couple weeks, and then we saw what happened last
game. Titans will take a couple weeks.
Yeah, so the Titans, they fired their coach. Hasn't led to anything. We'll see if the Dolphins do it. But Chris Greer, gone. He has been with the organization since the year 2000. He had been the general manager since 2016. Since 2000, I think they've won one playoff game. You can't put it all on him. He wasn't in charge. But since 2016, he was the general manager. They've had a couple playoff appearances. In fact, maybe three since he took over, but haven't won a playoff game since the early 2000s. So he goes, one of the longer tenured GMs in football, out the door. And we'll see what happens next with
them. I'm taking my cap off in solidarity.
Because Chris Greer can finally take his cap off that he always wears. Because he's
no longer
in public.
I don't have a blazer. Yeah. But,
the blazer.
That's who I should. I should have dressed up as Chris Greer for Halloween. Everyone would have loved it.
That really would have been a deep cut. I would be the only one who would have got it. But he's done. We'll see after what happened last night. They don't even have a bye. I think they have a couple games before their bye. But they're going to be 2-8 because the Bills are coming to town. And then they head off across the pond to play the Commanders. So predictable, but he's the first to go. And the Dolphins will be in line to search for a GM. Or maybe they'll hire someone from in-house because Champ Kelly, from what I have read about him, someone that is thought highly of. It's just when you hire someone from inside the burning house, it's going to piss people off, even if he has done a good job in his role. But there it is. That has happened. Keith, you want to call in about Chris Greer. Are you someone who thinks about free agent GMs and where they can be hired? I don't know. This fits in line with what you normally call about. Cougar, I see you. We'll get to you. We'll get to Keith when we come back. Hey, you get your ass kicked like you did in front of the entire world after a 2-6 start. Things start to get shaken up and he's got to go. All right, we'll be back.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea.
I was asking Sean if I need to pay attention to Ryan Rollins. He went for 32 last night in a win for the Bucks over the Warriors in a game where Giannis doesn't play. He lit him up. And while we don't think much of the Bucks' chances to do anything big and to keep Giannis because he wants to be a championship contender. They are 4-1 to start, so at least right now, Giannis probably feels pretty good about the team. We'll see how it is going forward. All right, let's get to Cougar, who wants to join us. What's up, Cougar? Oh, the light's too bright. It happens. Or maybe you just forgot what you wanted to talk about. If you remember, call back in. We'd love to have you here. Let's get to Keith, who wants to talk about Chris Greer. Recently fired former Dolphins GM Chris Greer. What's up? Actually, let me put it to you the way Schefter put it to you. He said they met the Dolphins and Greer met this morning and mutually agreed to part ways. That's how it's been put out by the press. What's up, Keith?
Hey, Dale. Lights aren't too bright for me. Regular caller, long-time listener, big fan of the show. Ravens are my team. They've won 2 in a row. You know, who would have thought that the Ravens of all teams would be the ones that would send Chris Greer packing? I still think the Dolphins need to send Mike McDaniel packing. He'd be the perfect OC for a team next year. He's not really head coach material. But my question is, you know, I don't really care about the Dolphins. I do think they need to sell their whole roster. That kicker's not very good either. Malik Washington fumble, just a laundry list of bad plays for them. But my question is, are the Ravens back? Are they going to win the division? And how lucky are the Texans to get the Ravens at their absolute worst? Thanks, guys.
What the Dolphins do need to do or not need to do, I'm not sure about. But I don't know why you sell your whole roster. You could trade Bradley Chubb. I mean, I get that. Veteran pass rusher, probably not part of your future plans. Maybe you get an early day 3 pick for him, maybe get a 4th round or something. I get that part, but like the thoughts of trading Devon Achan, Malik Washington's a second year player. Yeah, he fumbled. The game was like 20-6. No one cares. Like, it wasn't the big fumble. That was the other Taj Washington in his first NFL game. First NFL reception, he fumbles the football, sets the Ravens up for their first score. No, I wouldn't say the Ravens are back, even with Lamar Jackson. If you watch the first half of that game, I'm not going to pull the Brent Venables where I'm like, you know, the better team lost. I'm not going to do that because I don't need the Ravens version of Lane Kiffin coming after me. But I will say this, down to down, the Dolphins were more productive. Now, better team includes not turning the ball over, not missing field goals, not getting called or not committing a false start when you want to go for it on like 4th and 1. And then the field goal kicker who's filling in for your primary guy who's been out the entire year misses. They weren't the better team last night. But for the first half, they were better offensively and outgained the Ravens by 100-plus yards. The Ravens were set up by Dolphin mistakes. So I wouldn't use beating up on the Dolphins as evidence at your back, much like we didn't use what the Ravens showed against the Texans as a reason why the Texans were back or should be considered in a serious way. You played an awful football team who's mistake-prone. And for the first half, they gave you everything you wanted. Then, of course, you got it going in the second half. And in the previous game, you were up against the Bears 16-13, and Caleb Williams throws a back-breaking pick, an awful one. So you played the Bears, who got their own questions, and you played the Dolphins, who got all the questions, and they just fired their GM. I wouldn't use the last two games as proof that the Ravens are back. You just should feel good that you're in a division that's not that great. So even if you're not a real contender, you'll probably make the playoffs because no one really trusts the Steelers because their defense stinks. We got to get over the whole, it's the Steelers. Their defense is bad. No matter what Ramsey can provide, being someone who plays all over the field, they stink. They give up points. So you'll probably win that division because you get to play the Steelers twice. It's a different version of what happened last year, where the Steelers were really good to start the year, but you still had to play them twice, and they fell apart because they played you, the Ravens, and the Chiefs in their final stretch of games. But Russell Wilson at least got them off to a better start. This version of them is worse, much like you are, if you're a Ravens fan. There's just less room or less of a mountain to climb because the Steelers are average at best.
And the Ravens have, up next, the Vikings, the Browns, the Jets, the Bengals, the Steelers, the Bengals, and then you have Patriots, Packers, Steelers. It's five games where you're either playing the team directly ahead of you or an absolute trash heap.
Yeah, the Ravens went through their tough part of the slate early and didn't fare too well. Of course, Lamar's out. Their defense played terribly in that stretch. And what you saw last night was, well, okay, you're playing a bad football team and lets bad things happen to them, and then they multiply the bad things. And then you took advantage of it.
Yeah, I guess the Vikings aren't that bad.
No.
But they are having to play J.J. McCarthy now.
Well, that's a funny way to put that. They have to play J.J. McCarthy. I mean, Carson Wentz they were playing. Of course, he was banged up. They ran him out there again, and then he officially is out for the year.
His arm was barely attached.
And they kept playing him.
Yeah, let's go.
JJ's
McCarthy was a full participant on Monday.
His ankle was tender.
He wasn't able to play, but he was a full participant on Monday.
Lamar wasn't able to play last week, and he was a full participant. Then they had to switch it up and make it limited.
Yeah, exactly.
So who knows what's going on
exactly.
there.
Exactly. They lied.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So who knows? Either way, it's JJ McCarthy's team now. We'll see how well that sits with Justin Jefferson. I mean, he was trying to catch passes from Carson Wentz, so he couldn't have been thrilled either way. But now it's JJ McCarthy has no buffer. He's got to go out there and play well.
If I'm Justin Jefferson, I am like, man, do you know how many reclamation projects this guy's figured out? JJ McCarthy can't. No, okay, all right.
You know who
I'd be pretty bumped.
Who are all the quarterbacks? Sam Darnold. Who else does he play
Darnold,
with? Did he play with Keenum? No, right? Did he?
No, I don't think so. I think it was Cousins.
Cousins,
I think,
yeah.
Because Keenum was the year before, was the Diggs
play.
The Diggs play. Although that was like 17 or 18. But And Jefferson was drafted in 20.
It's been Cousins.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold.
Little Dobbs.
Yes, little Josh Dobbs.
Like that's more of it. Is that
Mullins maybe? Even?
Yeah, you get like a cameo from someone who goes for 250 yards.
Yeah, and everyone's praising Kevin O'Connell for what he can do. Of course, Justin Jefferson's a big part of that as well.
McCarthy, not so much.
We'll see. He'll get another chance. We'll see if it's a good one. A good opportunity for Justin Jefferson to lose his mind.
Yeah. Like he did in college, just hand it all.
Yeah, we did. I did have my doubts.
I think we sniffed that one out.
Yeah, I mean, hey.
We'll see how
Blake Corum, Merchant, Hassan Haskins, Merchant,
there's
Donovan Edwards, Merchant.
There's just not that many top 10 NFL draft picks where the college offense was, let's have this guy throw as little as possible.
Yeah,
that just isn't normally how it works.
Yeah, we're so effective running the football. We'll run play action on 3rd and 6, and it affects linebackers, so he can throw it to the tight end behind the linebackers. Yeah, correct.
Just never not normally.
Never really bought into it. It's great to go win a national title. It's great to aura farm and sit by the goalposts and meditate, whatever he was doing. And people, look at JJ, really locked in. Now you got to go play NFL football, and maybe your coach is holding you out of a game when you're a full participant when you're supposed to be the starter.
I saw him jump over that guy at on the sideline. Didn't look like he was nursing a high ankle sprain.
Well, we'll see how that ankle holds up.
We'll see.
now that he's forced to play. Let's get to Eric here. He wants to talk about Jerry Jones, and then we'll go to break. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. With the Dolphins firing their GM, do you think you're going to have a wholesale trade? Maybe if Jerry stops polluting East Texas, maybe make some trades for defense. And also, who sucks worse at being an NFL quarterback? Ohio State QBs or Longhorns QBs? I'll hang up and listen.
Are the Dolphins, I think you're asking, are they going to have a fire sale? Well, Chris Jere was a guy who loved the trade. He generally won trades because you see he gets a star player, you think he wins the trade. I don't know the directive for Champ Kelly, the great name. I don't know the directive for him as far as making trades. Are they just going to tell him, hey, if you can get rid of like an expensive veteran, go ahead. But anyone who's younger than 25 are going to keep? I don't know. I mentioned a name like Bradley Chubb. Maybe you have a taste for Minkah Fitzpatrick. Maybe you want him. I don't know. I don't think anyone who they would consider part of a 2 to 3 year plan is going to go. But you never know. Because Jalen Phillips, he's the king of almost sacks. He had another one on the Lamar Jackson throw to Isaiah Likely early in that game to get the Ravens into scoring territory before they made it, I think, 14-3. He is a guy who people are speculating about. He's got a contract coming up, unrestricted free agent after the season. So if you like him as a Dolphin, or even if you're another team, you might be able to get him on the cheap, not only with the trade, but also the money, because the production doesn't match the projections. And also, he's an injury guy. So you can maybe bet low on him, buy low on him.
Champ Kelly.
Yeah.
Why does he get to be Champ?
What's his real name? You found
Anthony.
It? I don't know why he's Anthony Champ Kelly.
Bailey.
Why does he get to be Champ Bailey?
Yeah. Yeah. Is it because Kelly played college football at Kentucky as a wide receiver and defensive back from 1998 to 2001?
I don't know if that's exclusively why, but maybe.
It's like, hey, he's kind of like our Champ Bailey.
I would say no. Maybe that is just something that's from his background. Someone called him Champ very young, and now that's what he went by.
And now Adam Schefter is doing that, announcing that he's the interim.
It's the name on his wiki. He doesn't go by Anthony Kelly anywhere, so Champ Kelly's the name he goes with.
I would just like one part of this wiki to be like, you know, he was the greatest Florida high school football player. Well, maybe not Florida, but, you know. He won 3 straight state championships in Florida or something. Well, you know, like,
how do you like this story? Because this comes from, I don't know if you want to say an accredited source, but RaidersBeat.com. Apparently, actually, he was speaking with The Athletic and Raiders Beat picked it up.
Okay.
Champ tells the story that, of course, his real name was Anthony, but he picked up the nickname Champ just moments after he was born. When I was born, the doctor handed me to my mother. She had a difficult labor and said, we made it, didn't we, Champ? So his mom gave it to him because she called him Champ, and that's how it stuck. You got a problem with that, Sean?
Yeah, beautiful story.
All right. You got no problems now?
It's an early call, though, I will say.
Well, he went on to be a good college football player, now may be in line to run an NFL team. So it's not a bad call. Early one, but a pretty good one, considering what he's done so far.
I'll just say Champ Bailey's parents were more right. I'll just say that.
Look, we can't all be all pros and potential Hall of Famers.
That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying.
But it's pretty good to see a kid
did it, Champ.
Name him Champ, and then he goes on to be this? To have Adam Schefter tweeting his name?
That is good.
That's pretty good.
Hey, he might.
And if he keeps the job because people in the building like him, if he authors a turnaround for what is a franchise that hasn't won a playoff game since the early 2000s,
true.
Then what are you saying?
True.
Yeah.
He might be able to be on a phone call with Jerry Jones at some point.
And get a second-round pick for Bradley Chubb out of Jerry Jones?
Draft pick compensation for
yeah.
Jerry Jones?
Perhaps.
All right.
Perhaps. I don't remember the other thing Eric was asking about. Oh, worst quarterbacks, Ohio State or Texas quarterbacks. Who are the Texas quarterbacks in play? I mean,
Quinn Ewers.
Quinn, but before him.
A heartbeat away.
Vince Young. No, Quinn's now third string again. I told you that. It's not a heartbeat. Two heartbeats away.
I thought, you know, maybe. You
nah,
know.
Last night, Zach Wilson was still the backup.
Short week. Not as much practice time to win the job.
To win the job that he had already lost after winning it.
After winning it.
Yeah, but lost it pretty quickly.
So, I just love
us. It's a week to week. Keep the competition going for the backup, whatever. I would say they have bigger concerns, but doesn't really matter. Whatever. Doesn't really matter at this point for the Dolphins.
Whatever brain power Mike McDaniel is using for this would be better used somewhere else.
He had a good game plan, right? At least early on.
Yeah.
Then it fell apart.
Got to six very fast.
Not that fast.
Well, you know.
Should have had seven, but they're the Dolphins, so of course not.
Devon A-Chain went over his prize picks. That's all I care about.
Good for you, Sean, and anyone who was listening to you. But you've got Colt. You've got Vince.
Yeah.
Who else is out there we can judge?
Sam Ellinger is the third stringer for the Broncos, so he'll be in town.
But Colt and Sam Ellinger weren't ever looked at as real big-time pro prospects. Vince was a top five pick, of course. Ohio State quarterback, CJ. Dwayne Haskins, RIP. But what are the other Ohio
Justin
State?
Fields.
Yeah. That's the other one. So Ohio State has.
Joe Burrow.
Has found guy. That's an LSU guy. Sorry, they don't get that one.
Okay. Hey.
They'd love to have him.
Just had to test the waters. Cardale Jones, JT Barrett. Now as a coach,
I'm trying to think of top prospects who people had real expectations for. Ohio State has had more of them, and has failed as brilliantly.
Smith,
nope.
Okay,
doesn't
Heisman winner.
I know he was drafted, but he's not in this conversation. It is Ohio State as far as options, but as far as success, they're banking on CJ. Like Vince Young, at least he won a Rookie of the Year, made the playoffs. His early start was similar to CJ's in some ways. As far as team success early.
We'll see if C.J. Stroud can beat
So it's Vince's. Pretty much C.J. versus Vince to take the crown of quarterbacks from schools who.
And someone was on a Madden cover.
That's true. It's very true. Don't foresee C.J. getting there. Unless, in fact, I think Northwest being dressed up as Kai Cenat has a better chance of being on the Madden cover than C.J. does. If you don't know that story, we did it yesterday.
She looks like
Kanye's kid dressed up, or Kim and Kanye's kid dressed up as Kai Cenat, the famous streamer. Turns out she looks more like CJ Stroud than she does Kai Cenat when she puts on the hair and the goatee.
Is it bad that I kind of want a CJ Stroud stinker just to
see people run that out there? Yeah. I mean, as a person who says they root for the Texans, yes, it's kind of bad, but I also understand humor. It'd make you laugh. And I would like to replace.
They're playing the best defense.
And I would like to replace the guy who currently has that role, the guy who sort of looks like CJ and then wears the jersey and leans into it.
Yeah.
I want that guy off the board.
Because he's leaning into it.
Yeah. I would like.
It's more organic.
I would like Northwest to take that role, even though she would rather have people think she looks like Kai Cenat. And then if it happens, she can lean into it and wind up in a CJ Stroud jersey at some point.
Yeah. In like December when they play.
Yeah. They go to L.A. for the Chargers game in December. All right, we'll go to break with that. I forgot what we were going to do. I think I might have was talking about some Broncos numbers. But Broncos-Texans, we can still talk about that. 713-780-3776. Of course, Michael Carroll joins us at 11:30. There are things to watch beyond sports, and he will tell you what you should or shouldn't watch when it comes to that. The Witcher is out. It's a Hemsworth playing Geralt. I've been able to look past it. I'm not thrilled with it. But I want to watch the show. There's another season after this one, too. So I gotta figure it out. How am I going to deal with Hemsworth playing Geralt of Rivia? I don't like it. But you got to just deal sometimes. All right. That aside, a lot to watch on TV, and Michael Carroll will talk to you about it. We'll come back. We'll get into some college football in our second hour because there's some games of focus. And some potential upsets could change kind of the fortunes of some teams as far as their conference title race and certainly the playoff picture. So we will certainly talk about that and more when we come back.
Yeah, I'll have to, try to watch those games that we're going to talk about because I'm a YouTube TV customer and I need to get the sports I love back, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball and more. I'll go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back. Hopefully I have ESPN back in time for Saturday because I have some prize picks lineups for you. We got on Saturday, we have the Cougs hosting West Virginia. It's the 2015 anniversary night. The 2015 team is going to be honored. And I think Dean Connors is going to take that to heart as someone who's now been a Coug for upwards of 7 or 8 games. And he's going to rush for 77.5 yards. I think he's going to go more than that. 78 at least for Dean Connors in those black jerseys. Moving on to Saturday, still at 11 a.m., give me Mason Shipley, the Texas kicker, to have more than 6.5 kicking points. Don't know if Arch is going to play. He's a game-time decision. I think either way, it's going to be a field goal fest. It's going to be a low-scoring game. Give me the more on Mason Shipley's kicking points. And on Sunday, we've talked a lot about how this Texans offense will attack the Denver defense. Well, without Pat Surtain out there, I think Nico Collins can have a big day back on the field. So give me more than 60.5 receiving yards for Nico Collins tonight, or not tonight, on Sunday against the Broncos. You can follow my picks or you can make your own by downloading the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks. Get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So while the Texans get Nico Collins back, he was a full participant outside of the protocol now, so he's going to play. Christian Kirk's going to play. The Jags are going to put Travis Hunter on IR, so their rookie receiver cornerback won't be available for the next at least 4 weeks as he goes on IR. So Texans get good news, Jags get bad news. We'll see about Dalton Schultz. He is the one that is of concern when it comes to possibly playing on Sunday. We talked some about the Texans Broncos earlier. I don't think I got to the numbers as far as how the Broncos are likely going to cover the Texans. Now, this also will coincide with their pass rush. Some of their pass rush numbers certainly rank at the top of the league. When they want to send a five-man rush, they're at nearly 52%. All that really means is they're second best in the league. The percentages probably matter less than where they rank. And when they send four, they have the best pressure rate in the league. Overall, they get pressure on quarterbacks more often than anyone else in football. So that's where the game's going to be won. Keep your quarterback upright. Particularly when you're coming off a game where you allowed the least amount of pressure on CJ all year. We talked a lot about that, maybe having to do with the lack of rush talent for the 49ers, but they did a great job. They're going to be tested in a different way. Man coverage will be a part of the game as well. So when you're watching, and if you see CJ holding the ball, it's likely because the Broncos didn't change their philosophy and decided they were going to play man and force the Texans receivers to beat them, get separation. So pass rush plus playing man coverage is the way the Broncos like to do things. The Texans are going to have to try to find answers for that. We talked about them running the football really well last week. That needs to continue. Well, one of the guys who did it was Woody Marks, and we'll hear from Nikayla here on Woody Marks. Woody Marks had the big play when CJ dumped it off to him. As CJ found Woody Marks in the flat, he went down the field for about 50 yards. He also was a big part of churning out yards in the running game. Here is Nick Cayley on Woody Marks as a talent as a whole and a play in particular from the San Francisco game.
Woody is a very talented player. I think you can see that. He can do a lot of things with the ball in his hands. He's a good runner. There's some runs he makes, man. I'm like, I have no clue how he got through there. I mean, just the bend, the elusiveness. He's got great wiggle. And then, you know, he can catch the ball, and he can make people miss in space. So, you know, he's getting better every single game, every single week. And I think we just keep it in that, you know, wheelhouse. And, you know, again, back there with Nick, too. And what a great guy to be able to – guy that's got a lot of – done a lot of good things in this league that's just steady and consistent every single day. So, you know, we got a good room. Woody's continuing to work hard, and, you know, got a lot of faith in him, too.
Vance Joseph, who was a former DB coach with the Texans, is the DC for the Broncos. They lead the league in unblocked pressures. So CJ loves the thought of having more control. It's going to be on him and Woody Marks as a guy in the backfield because they like to scheme up guys coming free, and they do a great job of it. So, of course, the six-man protection with Blake Fisher will be a part of it, but your backs being able to know where to go when the Broncos send their blitzes, or hell, even when they're dropping guys in one area and bringing guys from the other, well, where it could look like five or six are coming, but they really only bring four, they find a way to get guys free. So it'll be a big stress on CJ and those running backs to find answers. So those are just a couple of things to look at as far as the Texans offense versus the Broncos defense. As far as the other side of the equation, we know the Broncos don't exactly have big-time receivers, but Sean Payton schemes up not only deep shots for Bo Nix, but even some of the underneath stuff. You'll likely see plenty of passes out in the flat, the screen game, stuff like that. So, and of course, Bo Nix has the ability to make plays with his legs as well. So the Texans are going to be tested in a different way than they have all year long. Like Baker was a scrambler, but it wasn't a giant part of his game. I was trying to think about it. Trevor Lawrence will move around a little bit. But when we think about what they've seen so far, and they didn't even get Tyler Huntley, they got Cooper Rush. This is probably the guy who's going to try to make the most plays with his legs that they've seen all year long. And may even be someone looking towards to do that. I don't think that Baker Mayfield looks to do that. He will do that out of necessity. But I think this is a game for the Texans linebackers and Jalen Petrie to be. Of course, you always want to tackle well, but when it comes to Bo Nix, you don't want to see him running around and extending plays. And, of course, you got to keep him in the pocket, too, because it's not just about him gaining yards. It's about allowing for the scramble drill to lead to big plays for the Broncos. So I think it's a unique test in that way for the Texans defense. They haven't really seen that this year. As far as the receivers are concerned, Franklin is fine. Mims, more of a gadget guy. Of course, Cortland Sutton, he's their big receiver. I'm not that concerned about it. I'm more concerned about allowing Bo Nix to extend plays and what that might lead to. So it's kind of our look at the Texans as far as the game is concerned. One more thing before we wrap it up for the first hour. Like the Texans right now, they played better last week on the O-line, but they're 28th in the league when it comes to pass block win rate. That's 20% worse than the Broncos O-line, which leads the league. So there are clearly, going into the game, advantages for the Broncos. We will see if the Texans can find a way to kind of close that gap and allow CJ to play as well as he did last week. All right, that wraps up hour one. You know, we have our problems with how our football programs are run. I got to say, at least we're not LSU. We play some sound from Jeff Landry, where he uttered several falsehoods in talking about why LSU need to go in a different direction. Well, that different direction has taken shape. We'll talk about that when we come back, and that'll lead us into our college football discussion. We're done with hour one. In hour two, we'll also give away tickets. Cougs versus West Virginia. We'll give away tickets to that game in the second hour. So if you want to go see the Cougs tomorrow as they try to get to 8-1, keep listening. We'll give you your chance in hour two. We will be back.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.